Blog Talk Radio.
Come on, man.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is...
What?
My name is...
Dr. Dre.
Yeah. Mr. Robert Fortune.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
We get it. We gotta start the show. Hello. Y'all ready?
Tonight football, baby.
Making football great again. Like, woo.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Man, welcome once again to another jam-packed edition Talking Sports with the 12th Man. Gentlemen, this month is flying by. We're already in the month of November. Thanksgiving's around the corner, holidays, all that fun stuff, man. But again, like we said, we're making football great again. So let's get this party started. I'm almost scared to start out with JQ. Should I start with you, JQ? You good in the background there? I know you said you got to mute some stuff, man, because I can always throw it to Rob right out the gate. I know Mike is going to be real excited, too. But JQ, you all right, bro?
He knows we're live, so he's good right now. I'm good, man. Had a fantastic day with my girls, just hanging out with them this weekend. I am fantastic. How you doing, bro?
Man, doing fantastic. Again, we appreciate that, man. It's been a crazy packed weekend, as always. Mr. Rob Ford, how you doing, bro?
Doing better today, but, you know, after that LSU ass-kicking, you know, last night. But doing better today with the Saints, and look like I might go 5-1 in fantasy football this week. So a much better week in fantasy football, too.
Yeah, that was
rough. Too.
I'm here for you.
Here's what it is. I know we got our guys, Gary Curtis, on line. We're going to definitely check in with these guys really shortly here. As we get this party started. But, hey, we always have to throw out the numbers, the show, content, all the good stuff so you can follow us as we get this party started. Again, if you want to reach out to your boys, the number to always call in, it's always the 424-243-9519. That's the number that we want to hit. You guys to reach out to us. Follow us on Twitter, and our Twitter handle is at the number 12, THMAN Sports. And then last but not least, we are on the Book of the Face, Facebook. Go to facebook.com/12manSports, or we put in Talking Sports with the 12th Man. You will find us in that arena as well. Rob, you want to kick it out to our guys here, and we'll get this party started as we always do.
Absolutely. Let's make it do what it do.
Gary Curtis, what's up, guys? Just give us the Oregon Sports Report, guys.
All right, go ahead, Curtis. Give us your thoughts right off the bat.
I want to mention how great of a sports day this was in the Pacific Northwest. Mike,
even with Seattle losing?
No, well, I was able to, on my TV, switch between the L.A. Chargers game, the Seattle game, and the New Orleans Saints and the L.A. Ram games, and as I'm switching between the two, on my radio was the Portland Timbers in their first game in the playoffs with the Seattle Sounders, a soccer team.
Wow. Okay.
And not to mention, last night we had another LA team up here, LeBron James. Playing our Trailblazers. Great sports weekend here in the Pacific Northwest, especially Portland.
Now, we don't like the fact that LeBron won up here. You know, that was a good game. And, the Lakers won. They broke the streak of 16.
Yeah, so thank you, the Lakers fans.
Yeah, they did it. So we'll just have to start another one.
Oh, yeah, you keep up with that one.
Another one.
Yeah, I'm less worried about that right now. Now we got LeBron. Go ahead. Y'all do what you're going to do.
Yeah, it's still very early in the season, too, but obviously all these wins add up in the end when it comes to playoff positioning toward the end of the season. But definitely a lot of basketball to be played, and Portland is actually off to a very surprising start based on the way they finished the season last year, too. So they are playing a lot better. Ooh, they just crushed Aaron Rodgers. Come on, Aaron Rodgers. I need fantasy points from you, too.
Yeah, we got our eye on that, too, up here in the West. And we definitely wanted to talk about the Ducks. And we were curious on how they were going to react to Chip Kelly. And, they gave him a nice round of applause, and then they handed him the loss that UCLA deserved. So big one for the Ducks, 42-21. We also, Washington State, of course, they beat Cal 19-13. It was a good win for them. And the Huskies, they beat Stanford 27-23. So that was a good thing. Of course, the Beavers fell apart again, but that's the Beavers for you.
I feel like what happened with the Beavers. I really feel like if Clay Helton with the USC Trojans would have came up here and laid an egg and lost to the Beavers, I believe probably on Sunday they would have fired him down there in LA. So
really?
I think those kids were playing for that man's job.
So just real quick before we get to our NFL recaps from today, Washington State, obviously, they only won loss. They're ranked in the top 10 here in the rankings here. Pulled out a nail biter. The Cal team is better than a lot of people are giving them credit for, especially defensively. I think it's probably the best I've ever seen Cal play defense in the history that I've been watching college football. They're usually an offensive team that has to win by shootouts. But their secondary is really good. So Washington State won a nail biter, 19-13. Is Washington State good enough to get into the playoff conversation?
They're
the only team
in the
Pac-12 to have an outside shot.
Right. They need a lot of things to go right for them. And it doesn't look like that's going to happen with Michigan, Ohio State, the teams that are ahead of them. The Pac-12 has kind of stuck themselves in the foot. And, I mean, you know, we still got a lot more college football to go. And, boy, a lot of things got to fall right. And Washington State has to win that Apple Cup. That is the biggest game coming up in the Pac-12 and with Washington State.
I don't think they have any kind of a chance whatsoever. I think that the power conferences, they're going to win it. You know, I think that you've got look at Alabama. Look at how strong they were. You know,
yeah.
I don't see really anybody beating Alabama. I don't care who
they're
beating.
Here's the thing. I don't see two teams from the SEC this year, especially if Alabama wins the SEC championship, because Georgia won't get in with two losses. And so you have Alabama, if everything sets up straight. If Notre Dame goes undefeated, you got to think they're in the mix. If Clemson goes undefeated, you got to think they're in the mix. So that fourth team is going to be a one-loss team. So, you either think it's got to be Ohio State or Michigan out of the Big Ten, or it's going to be Oklahoma out of the Big 12, or it's going to be Washington State out of the Pac-12. Really, to me, those are the only four teams that are going to be in the mix for that last playoff spot. I think Clemson is going to run the table. I think Alabama is going to run the table. I think Notre Dame is going to run the table. So those three teams are in. So it's going to come down to either that Michigan, Ohio State winner, if Oklahoma can stay at one loss, or if Washington State can stay at one loss. Who's going to be the best team out of that group? And I think those are going to be your four playoff teams.
Yeah, but you saw Washington State fail in the AP poll, I believe, today. I believe they failed it, and Ohio State moved to eighth, ahead of them. I really thought that was, the little small things that you see in the polls that give you little indications about how the committee and other coaches feel about Washington State and Ohio State. As an Ohio State fan, I still don't feel like they're playing the part
so to speak. And I think they were getting about a little bit on name. But the fact that Washington State still won and they fell down to 10th in the AP poll and Ohio State moved up to 8th is a real indicator of how the people around the country and probably some of the decision makers in the, you know, committee feel about what Washington State does against everybody else. I totally agree with you, what you talk about, Rob. Those ones that are outliers, I think, are Ohio State, really, and Oklahoma, if Ohio State keeps winning before they play Michigan, because Oklahoma is looking the part, and I think that Ohio State is not looking the part, but everybody that's in front of them is falling down, so they're able to move up just on the strength of that. But I think Oklahoma really has a really good shot if somebody stumbles and stubs their toe to get in. I'm with you. I think Georgia, if they lose to Alabama, they're out.
And I completely forgot about West Virginia. They're also a one-loss team that could possibly play Oklahoma for the Big 12 championship game. So I forgot to include them in that mix. So I think, like I said, I don't see Georgia beating Alabama, even though the game is in Atlanta. And Georgia won't go with two losses this year, as long as one of those other teams, at least one of those other teams, have one loss. So I just can't see two SEC teams in it this year, unless Georgia somehow miraculously beat Alabama, and I don't see that happening this year.
You forgot about West Virginia for a reason, because they're not going to be a part of it. So I give you that.
Wow. I love it. Gary Curtis, you have anything else to add to the Oregon sports report, man? I know it's been a fantastic weekend for you guys as well, too, man.
Well, I want to explain a little bit on how this playoff works. One of the things I wanted to say with the playoffs for the MLS, the Portland Timbers in the MLS, how it works. There's one statistic out there that is really phenomenal, that in the history of the MLS, there's been 22, what these first games consist of is a play-in game to get into their playoffs. In the 22 games played in the MLS, the away team in 22 games has only won 5 of those games when they were the away team and beat the other MLS team at home. The fifth one came on Wednesday when the Portland Timbers went to Dallas and they were even a man down. They had a man get a red card and go down, and so they were playing with 10 men against 11 for 36 minutes of that play-in game. They were able to pull out a 2-1 victory in Dallas that put them here. But the statistic I want to talk about, in those 22 games, and that was 5 road teams, the other 4 teams that have won away from their home in another person's house, the other 4 teams were all in the East, the Eastern Conference. Portland is the first team in the Western Conference to win an away game in another person's home to get past the play-in game in the playoffs. The other thing I want to explain is how the playoff works. Mm-hmm. The playoff works, now they're playing Seattle. They beat Seattle today 2-1 here in Portland. But the playoffs is a game. There's 2 games in the playoffs. You got to play at your home, and you get to play at their home. And what they count between the 2 games is the goal differential. And you win the playoff game with the goal differential. And one of the most important goals you have to get in the MLS is you have to get that away goal. Because if it's tied any kind of way, whatever team in those 2 games had the most away goals sends the team to the next round.
Nice. Like I said, so for all of our listeners that aren't too hip on how soccer works and that whole, obviously playoff system, we appreciate you for breaking it down. Obviously in Atlanta, obviously we're really – huge Atlanta United fans, they kind of let us down as far as that first game for the Supporters Shield, but we're going to follow that And, you know, we're trying to definitely get more into soccer, too, especially more than whenever it comes around for the World Cup, too. So, again, man, we appreciate the breakdown with that. And it's always interesting to hear that side, too. I've got family in Portland, so they're a huge, you know, they may not be as big soccer fans, but I know they support a lot of things with the Timbers and everything like that, too, man. So that's good to know, man. So we appreciate you guys. And, again, we're going to get this started here, man. So, guys, we appreciate you guys giving us the Oregon Sports Report. So you're obviously, we appreciate you tagging along as we continue with the show. And let's kick it out with some NFL recaps here as we make football great again. And right off the gate, Rob, let's kick it off with the Lions and the Vikings, sir.
Yeah, looking at this game, obviously the Vikings defensively, 10 big sacks. You know, Matthew Stafford, I tell you what, he just fell off the face of the football earth. You're talking about a guy with all that potential, rocket arm.
Yeah.
And, you know, offensively, the Lions not getting anything done. Obviously, they traded Golden Tate, one of their weapons here. Get a third-round pick for him with the Eagles. But 10 sacks, man, they just the Vikings just nailed him defensively today. Danielle Hunter, I guess, you know, former LSU player, I guess he was pissed off at the way Alabama kicked their ass last night. He took it out on the Lions, and Matthew Stafford had 3.5 sacks. Forced a fumble and ran it back for a touchdown, too. And so a big game for him, Danielle Hunter.
Yeah, I mean, it's just the, you know, the cream separates from the rest of it. And you saw that Minnesota was just on another level.
I think the saying he was looking for was the cream rises to the top.
Thank you. That's the saying I was looking for. And that's what you found out. Minnesota just has a better defense than Detroit can hang with. And they tried to go and take. And you're looking for Galladay to step up, and he really didn't step up off the Marvin Jones, and that Minnesota defense just in the play today. There's not a whole lot to say about that. I think we already knew that Minnesota was going to be a step ahead of Detroit this year, and he just proved it.
It's been fun. Hey, Gary Curtis, that other voice that you hear is the voice of one of our another awesome call-in person. We check in, Mr. Mike. He's a huge Green Bay Packer fan, so if you hear anything in the background, I know Jake Houston is best to mute the line too, but obviously we're clued into the game. Even though it kind of looks like you know, England's kind of right now trying to hold on to this lead, man. So we'll see if Aaron Rodgers has some fist magic or some whatever you want to call it here. We'll see how this plays out for sure, guys. All right, and guys, if you ever want to just
hey, Aaron Rodgers, give me some fantasy points here.
Yeah, so
me,
if you want to go ahead and join in.
He and Jimmy
Rob,
Graham and whatever that Scantling dude name is, and Devontae Adams.
He's trying. Rob is trying. Hey, Rob, that's again more excitement to hear you talk about my Falcons, man. So talk about Falcons, Redskins, Rob.
Well, you know, I've been saying, you know, obviously everybody knows my disdain for the Falcons, but, you know, as I've been saying for several weeks, this team is still a scary team, in my opinion. Offensively, the Falcons has a lot of weapons. And you saw they had the screen game going at the gate. They got Julio Jones on a screen pass to the house. They got Tevin Coleman out of the backfield. He came up with some big pass catches, scored 2 touchdowns out of the backfield on some pass plays. Matt Ryan, a big day, 4 touchdowns, about 360 yards passing. So, once again, this is still a scary football team. And they won 3 straight. They're right back in the mix. You know, 4-4. I mean, like you said, they got Calvin Ridley as well. And the NFC South, once again, the Saints have won 7 straight. The Panthers have won 3 straight, and they're on the roll offensively. We're going to talk about them here in a minute. And now the Falcons have won 3 straight. So this Falcons team is right back in the mix when they're talking about the wild card conversation. And like I said, if they can overcome some of those injuries on defense, they're still going to be a tough out. Like I said, offensively, they have the weapons, and they can still put up points. So, still a very scary football team.
You stop it. You know the Falcons are not going to get a wild card spot. You stop that kind of conversation.
Shut up, Jeff.
It's a real deal.
Keep hope alive.
I didn't say it, Andre.
Keep hope alive.
Yeah. Come on, man. You know they're going to make a wild card. That's a really good win for them. And we talked about it last week. We're Washington being in the mix with the NFC East, and we thought they were playing better. And to lose to a Falcons team with a defense that's been giving up the points they've been giving up, and to lose that at home, you know, in D.C., is a really bad loss for the Redskins. That's one of those ones when you look at the schedule and say, which ones can we win? And you watch what's happening with the Falcons on defense. You got to feel like that's one we can win at home. And to lose that game for Washington is really bad. And I like the Falcons to do well.
but that's a bad loss for Washington in the NFC East. It really, really, really is. But you talked about it. Julio Fong getting a touchdown, Tevin Coleman getting in, Edo Smith getting in. You know, they had a good offensive showing. They're always going to be difficult offensively. But when you can't capitalize on that bad Atlanta defense as a so-called contender in the NFC, you can't take that loss at home to Atlanta.
Yeah, the Redskins had the whole side of the left side of the offensive line injured today, too. And that really hurt them. You see, the Falcons were able to put some good pressure on Alex Smith, even though he still had over 300-some yards passing. But you can tell that was a big deficit not having Trent Williams on that left tackle spot, and then they lost his left guard there in the middle of the game. So that really hurt the Redskins, too, and what they were able to do offensively today.
Yeah. I was going to chime in, too, real quickly.
And three teams to the playoffs.
No, it won't be Atlanta.
Jaquan is a Falcons hater.
No, I'm not.
But the Falcons got a chance.
No, they don't. Carolina.
They always got a chance.
Obviously, Minnesota, the Bears, and the Panthers are in the front runner right now. But you know, the Falcons are. They could get in that conversation possibly along with the Seahawks. But you know, there's still a lot of football to be played. So we'll wait and see what happens.
No, they can't. Don't be
I don't want them to go to playoffs.
I honestly say I don't believe. Listen, I go to the Falcons games. Andre has been there with me when my Falcons get home. I want the Falcons to do well as long as they're not playing the Bengals. But if I'm looking at that NFC, I don't see the Falcons being able to legitimately be the second wild card. I don't.
Yeah. Well, like I said, that you got your opinion, JQ. I mean, I'm not going to fault you for that, man. It is what it is, man. You know, obviously we're fans. We're gonna keep hope alive. I mean, it's been a really rough season. Definitely below expectations in the defensive injuries. I mean, that mess has really been challenging. So, I mean, from what we saw today, I would definitely say that I didn't know what to expect because I'm like, hey, you know, our offense is great, but defensively we haven't been able to stop anybody. So, again, they put together a really good plan, and either Washington took us lightly or whatever, but – I mean, at that juncture, they were in a dogfight, man. So just got to give kudos to the offensive game plan. Defensively and physically, they were obviously a physical football team, but we were able to definitely contain that, man, because everyone was predicting, man, Washington's going to shut down, you know, Atlanta because they got that physical line. And Adrian Peterson had this resurgence, and he's going to run off through us, and, you know, Washington could stop the run. And so we were able to do a lot of things that was unexpected. So, again, like Rob said, you've got a lot of football to be played. You know, the rose-colored glasses, like, hey, maybe there's a shot, but then you were listening. Yeah, you don't know. So, again, we'll see how that plays out as well. But that's enough talk and talk. I'll let Rob off the hook here, if you will, too. So, again, you know, Gary Curtis, you guys want to jump in, just give us your thoughts, and then we'll let you kind of add your thoughts as well. Let's talk about the Bucks and the Panthers, man. Very exciting football game. Again, NFC South is doing their thing.
Okay.
And this magic, he just couldn't quite, you know, he started for Jameis Winston, and it looked like the Panthers were going to run away with it, and then I don't know what always happens. It seems like the Bucks were trying to make it close, but, again, they just couldn't quite finish it up, Rob. So go ahead and finish it up, sir.
Well, Tampa Bay defensively is really hurting. I mean, obviously we talked about the Falcons and their injuries, but, you know, they've lost two of their starting linebackers, Quan Alexander, one of the best defenders, the other LSU player. They're really hurting defensively right now, and they can't stop anybody. They couldn't stop anybody before these injuries. And so now with these injuries, and Carolina offensively is getting better every week with North Turner. He's, you know, really dialing up the right plays. I mean, Christian McCaffrey had a big game today. Greg Olsen had a big game. Cam Newton had a big game. And DJ Moore has been coming on lately, but he had a quiet game today. But so this is also a team that, you know, going into the season, I actually thought that they were going to regress a little bit. But they're proving me wrong. I mean, and once again, they're just one game behind the Saints. I mean, the Saints have to keep winning. I mean, they're 6-2. The Saints are 7-1. So they're right there, just a game back behind the Saints and leading the wild card. They will be the first wild card at the season end of today. So, I mean, they're right there in that conversation. Got a big game on Thursday night. We're going to get into that in a bit here in our predictions with the Steelers. They play at Pittsburgh on Thursday night.
Yeah, yeah, you want to give them all the players no love. How about Curtis Samuel today with two touchdowns? He had a good game.
Oh, it sucks, man. The Saints got seven Ohio State players, man. Come on, I'm not giving Ohio State any love.
I'm talking about Carolina. Curtis Samuel scored 2 touchdowns for Carolina today. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
Alabama, Calvin Ridley doing his thing, man. You know, Alabama, Julio Jones. I mean, you know, let's just kind of jump into that too, man. Have some fun.
I told you who Ryan Fitzpatrick was long beforehand. He's going to have games where you feel like he's going to supposed to be Ryan Fitzmagic, and he does not do that. And Carolina at home, they had a game one, they let off the gas, and that's what happens. They let off the gas. But, you know, Cam Newton again, Christian McCaffrey, Curtis Samuel, they just had a big game. Greg Olsen, huge games about Carolina, but they shouldn't have had that game. They had the same kind of game that Cincinnati had against Tampa Bay. You had a big lead, and then you let Tampa Bay back in the game. So
knew it the whole time.
Yeah.
You keep hope alive. Got to keep hope alive.
Carolina is scary. The reason why we thought Carolina was going to regress because we thought the defense was going to take a step backwards. And they were playing really well.
But their offense has gotten better.
Mm-hmm. It has. They were playing really well in the first half of that game, and they took their foot off the neck of Tampa Bay, and they let Tampa Bay get back in. And then they finally toddled it away. But Tampa Bay is a team that you can't do that against. But their defense can't hold them. Tampa Bay's defense is sad, and Carolina got a win against the team they were supposed to get a win against.
All right. I'm good. Hey, let's talk about today. We got to 18 minutes here. Let's talk about the Bears and the Bills and, you know, Nate Peterman, that guy just not a lot of words. I mean, obviously, you know, Josh Allen's hurt for the Bills. And you talk about it feels like the Bears just kind of stole, you know, the Bills' lunch money and everything, man. They just kind of had to, just open up a can. Go ahead, Rob, on that. Recap.
I mean, 41-9, we talk about the wild card conversation. Obviously, the Bears are running for their division with the Vikings. I think the Vikings are now 5-3-1, and the Bears are 5-3, so technically they're tied for first place. And the loser of those two will be the other wild card as of right now. And so, I mean, obviously the Bears are doing phenomenally well defensively, but everybody's playing great defense against the Bills. And, you know, Peterman.
Wow.
But yeah, it's true. It sucks. Peterman, 3 more interceptions today. And I will give the benefit of the doubt. All of them weren't his fault, but he still had 3 INTs that were credited to him. I mean, the Bears had 2 defensive touchdowns in this game. And, I mean, this is probably one of the worst cast of characters that the Bills are putting out there on the football field, 1-11. And it's, I mean, shucks, man.
Oh,
they have more bad luck than Charlie Brown right now. And, I mean, 41-9. Yeah, it's pretty bad right now in Buffalo. So credit, give a lot of that credit to the Bears too, but things are just not going well for them. I can't believe the Bills won 2 games this year.
Listen, you talk about
Pittsburgh,
LSU. So is Buffalo. When you roll into town and you play Nathan Peterman as a quarterback, even as good as that Bills defense actually is pretty good. But it gets worn down because the offense is so bad. And you saw it in the past 2 weeks where they started off pretty good in the first half, even against Chicago and New England last week. But that offense is so inept. When Booker McFarland said that Benjamin was one Popeye's biscuit away from being a tight end, I fell out of my seat laughing during that Monday Night Football game. That was hilarious. But he's absolutely right. That Buffalo offense is tragic. And there's nothing that defense can do to help them. So that's just where Buffalo is right now. They just need to draft offense 1 through the 7th round in this next draft. They're horrific.
Yes.
I was going to say, sorry, Ernie. Sorry, Tommy. Those are my guys that are big Bills fans. I got to say that Nate Peterman, he is in the top 10 for something, guys, if you didn't realize. He's in the top 10 for interception percentage among all NFL quarterbacks since 1990. So basically, he's got more interceptions than touchdowns in his career, which is kind of sick. And, I mean, I'm kind of it's not kind of funny for my Bills fans, man. So I'm not trying to make funny of him, man. It's just, he had like a 29.
But has he ever thrown a touchdown pass right since he's been in the league?
He's got 3 touchdown passes, believe it or not. He's got 9 interceptions.
Oh, okay.
So he's thrown 3. He threw 1 to Jay Jones, whatever. But isn't that messed up how Derek Anderson, the Bills picked up Derek Anderson off the street, man. And he got hurt Monday night. And then so Nate Peterman was like, he's the savior. Nah, that was a loss. It's all good, man. That's crazy. All right, we have been delaying the inevitable here. much as I hate to talk about the Saints, I was rough. I hate to talk about the Falcons. I got to give them some props for handling a very undefeated Rams team. So, Rob, I'll let you have your moment, man. Go ahead, man.
Well, obviously the Saints had an explosive first half and, you know, had a 35-14 lead, 21-point lead. Obviously they got that done offensively. Came up with a couple of big plays defensively right before the half. Alex Anzalone, also known as Thor, came up with the big INT right before the half and got the Saints another touchdown right before the half as well. And also the Rams had a missed field goal there too. And so those that kind of help catapulted them to a big lead. I think when it comes down to it, the Saints won the end of the second quarter and they won the end of the fourth quarter, and that's the reason why they won the game. And even at the end of the fourth quarter, they came up with a couple of big stops, and you know, the Rams got back in the game. I think in the start of the second half, you know, we've seen this before. So JQ talked about this with the Bengals and the Bucks. We talked about this with the Panthers and the Bucks today. Saints got off to that big lead, and a combination of the Saints being a little conservative going into the third quarter, as well as giving the Rams some credit for what they did defensively as well. And the Rams were able to get back into the game, make a game of it, which you knew when you're playing a team like the Rams, you have to keep the gas pedal down. You can't stop scoring against a team like the Rams, and the Saints allowed them to get back in the game. But thankfully, they were able to finish it off in the end. With some big plays down the stretch. Michael Thomas with the cell phone, the flip phone. Man, where you get a flip phone from these days? And for the flip phone, trying to reinvent the Joe Horn touchdown play from 2003. Joe Horn said he was working out in his hometown of Mississippi when he saw that on the screen and couldn't believe it, started tearing up.
Wow.
And Ben Watson catches a touchdown pass in the game. Puts the ball on his belly and tells the world that he's having twins.
Alvin Kamara having a big game.
Oh, yeah, Alvin Kamara. I forgot to even talk about him. Yeah, big day, three touchdowns as well.
Yep. Yeah, I mean.
Had a better day than Gurley, too.
It's hard going to New Orleans when that offense was falling like that to beat them, even as an undefeated team, and to jump out on them. But you're right, Rob. That you, when you get up into that big lead, you sometimes get conservative and you let your foot up, and they come back into the game. But Michael Thomas, I mean, good Lord have mercy, Ohio State. I love you, Michael Thomas. I love that dude right there. He is a monster. And he saved the game in the second half from New Orleans in that game. But it was really about Drew Brees and Alvin Kamara, in my opinion. And, you know, they did just enough to hold out in that Los Angeles Rams offense. But going into New Orleans, into the Superdome, it's a tough place to play. I thought the same thing for Death Valley last night with LSU, and it didn't work out that way, but it worked out for the Saints today against the Rams.
Yeah, Louisiana was a center of the football world this weekend, I tell you. College game day in Baton Rouge, NFL countdown in New Orleans today, and two big games. Obviously, would have liked to see an LSU win, but I didn't expect LSU to win. I did expect the Saints to win today.
And you'll take 1-1.
Well, what I look at when I was watching the game is just that quick release of Drew Brees. He didn't get that that Rams line. They couldn't get to him. By the time they even got anywhere near him, that ball was already out of his hands to a running back, to a receiver, to a tight end. To me, he was the MVP of the game. He was phenomenal.
Yeah, and that's a great point there, Gary. The Rams had zero sacks in that game. They didn't sack Drew Brees not one time in that game. The Saints are the least sacked team in the league this year. They've only given up 9 sacks. And you're right, that's a combination of Drew Brees and his quick release. And also, the Saints might have the best offensive line in football. When you talk about those tackles, Ryan Ramczyk and Teron Armstead, two of the best in the business, and their interior offensive line as well, Andres Pete and Max Unger, and Larry Warford were phenomenal. And Dominican Sue, I don't think he made a play the entire game. Obviously, Aaron Donald had his plays in the game. You know, he's a guy you're just not going to completely stop. But Dominican Sue was shut down the entire game today.
Well, really, it was just a couple of hurries. That was it.
I'm sorry?
It was just a couple of hurries. It really wasn't anything that was where, you know, it didn't even look like Drew Brees had really a care in the world. He just stepped up in the pocket. There was one time where he took off running where he dove for that first down. You know, 39-year-old legs, you know, he can move out. He's a great athlete, keeps himself in good shape. I was impressed.
I hope it snows in Cincinnati. I hope it snows 12 inches in Cincinnati next week.
Well, we're going to pound you with Alvin Kamara and Mark Ingram when that happens.
We're going to try to shorten this game. I hope it snows all day. I said we're going to shorten the game. I hope it snows all day. Good Lord,
I love it. I love it.
It's not at all.
Hey, we still feel your mic, man. Hey, JQ, is Mike okay? He's not. He's going to be okay, right? Everything is good. Mike over there in the background.
By himself.
He's in the corner. Okay. Well, we're here. We're here for support.
Don't leave out the fact that he's listening to DMX by himself. There you go.
Oh, man.
He listens to DMX. Hey, let's wrap this up. Let's wrap up the recap here. Let's talk about the Ravens and the Steelers here. I know Steelers have always been in the delay on Le'Veon Bell, but, yeah, they're still doing it, guys. And it seems like they can care less. Go ahead, man. Rob.
Well, obviously the Ravens' offensive line is really hurting right now with the amount of injuries that they have. We talked about the Redskins and their offensive line injuries. And, Joe Flacco was getting harassed the entire game with the injuries, massive injuries on that offensive line. They were hurting. And, of course, James Conner had another big day running the football as well. And, like we said, the Ravens were definitely missing Ronnie Stanley and James Hurst on that left side of the offensive line, and it really showed today. Flacco had no time the entire game. So between the Steelers' defense and James Conner running the football, that was enough to hold off a 7-point victory on the road.
I am not participating in this conversation for my hatred for both the Steelers and the Ravens. So, yeah, that sounds great, Rob. Y'all can do what you want.
JQ, first time he decided to have a sensation on that. I love it.
I want to do it real time. So, go ahead.
Sound like Woody Hayes over here. All right, let's keep this going here. So let's talk about John Gruden, man. So, it feels like it's a whole new low for the Raiders here. Is it the worst contract right now, Rob?
Well, I think it's hard to answer that in his first year. It looks like it right now, obviously. But I would say you have to wait to at least his third season to really give a real in-depth answer to that question. But it certainly looks like it right now. But I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. Let's see what happens with all these first-round picks they have in the next few years, if he's able to build a team in his own image. And also they're making a move to Las Vegas. I know the Raiders organization is not making the kind of money that other franchises are making right now because of their stadium situation. And obviously that's going to change a big deal when they get to Las Vegas. And so we'll wait and see what happens. I'm willing to give him to his third year and see what happens when he builds. But, they're trading away players, trying to save money right now. And you just don't see NFL franchises doing that. But I'm willing to say, hey, let's wait to two more years and see what he's able to get going there. But Derek Carr, a couple of years ago, looked like a bright quarterback for the future. And you're just not seeing that right now.
Yeah.
No,
I agree. Point of play.
That's why I say that it depends on what they do with the draft picks. They're definitely saving money, and I mean, if that's where you are, that's where you are. But I can't grade him as a failure quite yet because I want to see what happens with those three. When you get three first-round draft picks, that's serious currency in the current NFL. If you nail those three draft picks, we can make a lot of fun of them right now, deservedly so. But if he nails those three draft picks the next year and you're able to come back and be like, you know what, we hit here on the defensive line, a linebacker, and that wide receiver, you're like, oh, we're in a minute. Is he able to get his magic back with Carr at quarterback and that X wide receiver they get and that defensive position they get off of the draft? I mean, I don't think you can rush the judgment right now on them. I mean, it's easy to kick them while they're down because it's all self-inflicted wounds, and they deserve all of that right now. But they could turn the corner if they know those graphics.
So you're saying there's a chance. I love it. Hey, Rob, we got about 5 minutes here before we get to the OT. Well, actually, before we get to the OT portion, technically three. Go ahead and do some fantasy shout-outs here, and then I know we'll move on here. We got to talk about some combos with, you know, some quarterback coaching, all that fun stuff too, Rob. So go ahead.
Well, actually, we don't have any fantasy shout-out this week because we're still in the middle of the week. And so we'll resume the fantasy shout-outs on next week. So this week's fantasy action, we'll do the fantasy shout-outs on next Sunday. For those, since we're still in the middle of the week and we still have Monday night game.
That's right. That's right. My apologies. Yeah, that's right. I'm thinking I was trying to skip ahead so I keep moving to Susan. All right. Let's talk about I was trying to step ahead. I was looking ahead and make sure you're good with that. Let's talk about the McVay golf and Peyton to Breeze combo. And obviously you're going to keep showing love for the freaking Saints here because we're going to say that Peyton Breeze is better. So we got 2 minutes for that. Go ahead, Rob. Dang it.
Well, I mean, obviously Peyton and Breeze has been together since 2006. This is only McVay and Jared Goff's second year together. So this one is pretty easy when you base it on the track record. Breeze and Peyton has done so much for 13 years now. And so it's a no-brainer. But I will say McVay and Goff has a tremendous future together, a very bright future together, if they stay together for many years to come. I mean, they have – McVay is very innovative. Goff has proven to be that worthy of that number one selection in the draft a few years ago. And the Rams have a ton of weapons, Todd Gurley, and those set of receivers that he has. One concern I have with the Rams is their aging offensive line. Here in the next couple of years, they are going to have to address that to get a little bit younger on the offensive line so they can protect their franchise quarterback.
Yeah, no, I would agree with that. It's way too early. It's way too early. You're talking about Peyton and Breeze. They have so much of a track record at this point together that you can't even put McVay and Goff in that category yet. You know, like Drew Brees is kind of just laugh at that question. Like, what? Huh? Y'all even in the stratosphere right now. You're talking about 2 years. You know, we're a decade deep in this game. Like, no. That's why I was like, you know, it's very sexy to get involved in the new and up-and-coming thing. And, well, will they be the most impressive thing we've ever seen since, like, spring? And it's like, yeah, they're doing really good right now, but you can't put them in that stratosphere right now with Peyton and Breeze. No, I'm not writing them off, but you just can't compare them to me right now. There's just not enough track record for McVay and Goff at this point to even put them in a conversation with the Peyton and the Breeze. They're in a whole different conversation. That's why I say that. I think they have the makings to be in that conversation if they're able to stay around. And you're right, Whitworth is old. They have very solid veterans right now.
There's not going to be many Breezes that come
around. Yeah, but he makes a good point. You have a Whitworth and you have an aging offensive Rams offensive line. Can they keep those guys in and maximize them and then replenish them with younger guys that can keep that kind of effort and that kind of, you know.
But let's not crown Goff before.
Agreed.
Don't make me go back yet. We'll keep it going here, but really quickly, I'm going to add to that as we get ready to the LT portion. But I will say this, we do got to give them some love because definitely, you know, Jared Goff did not look like he was going to be the guy under Jeff Fisher. That obviously, you know, they have come in and actually looks like a great quarterback in this juncture too. So good pickup. Rams look like a totally different team, and we'll keep it going with that. Rob, we got about a minute. Go into the OT portion, and we'll let Curtis and Gary get into that and tell their thoughts about that since they're on the West Coast too. So go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, and one last question before I wrap up the show here. I mean, not question, one last comment. You know, Jared, that was Jared Goff's rookie season. And Patrick Mahomes, he sat his whole rookie season. So, I mean, let's keep that in mind, too. Goff came out shaky his rookie season, and then he turned it up a notch. So we have to keep that in mind, too. It was too early to call him a bust after 1 year. And even with Baker Mayfield, I mean, he's still in the process of development, so we can't quite call him a bust or Sam Darnold or any of those rookie quarterbacks just yet. That being said, ladies and gentlemen, we thank you all for tuning in to our show tonight. We'll be back on next Sunday night, people, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central. My friends in Portland, L.A., Seattle, West Coast will be at you at 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on next Sunday night. Tune in to our OT portion. We can't bring it to you live. Click on the same link on tomorrow. You can get the rest of the show. We got more football to talk about, people, and a little NBA. So you definitely want to tune in. Click the same link tomorrow to get the rest of the show. Good night.
Oh, I love the music, dude.
Yes, sir.
Had to keep it going, man. A little surprise, little change there. All right, gentlemen, we are ready to go. We are definitely in the OT portion here of the show. And Curtis and Gary, do you have anything to add as far as that with your boy here, McVay Golf, Peyton Breeze on that front too, combos?
No, I think you guys covered that. Oh, you know, besides the fact when you're a football fan, and I think this is what the football fans want, is those kind of high-scoring games and those games that kind of come down to the last play. And I'm going to transition from the last play into what happened in the Seattle-LA Charger game. This was a litmus test, I think maybe even for both teams. Seattle was kind of thinking they could be a wild card team. And I think they're still thinking they're going to be a wild card team. And the Chargers really feel like they can maybe win that AFC West. I tell you what, though, what I saw, I was impressed with the Chargers' pressure on the quarterback.
Yeah
I was very impressed with that.
And they get Bosa back, and
make him a better defense. Because I've always believed in Rivers and those offensive weapons he has. But if they got a defense that can put pressure on Tom Brady, like they put on Russell Wilson today, they have a shot to beat the New England Patriots. If they can put the kind of pressure on Tom Brady like they put on Russell Wilson, they got a shot.
The Chargers' only two losses have been to the Rams and to the Chiefs. The Chargers are a very good team. So if Seattle thought they were going to – and, again, I don't think Seattle was never really a threat to the Rams. But if you look at that Chargers team, their only two losses have been to the Rams and to the Chiefs. That is very impressive. And they're not blowout losses, like competitive losses. Yep. The Chargers are a really good team with two losses that are flying under the radar. They don't get a whole lot of attention from coast to coast because of their stadium situation, leaving and having the fan base there in the West Coast over there in California. That Chargers team is phenomenal. They're really good. And they lost Casey Hayward to an ACL injury. If they had the cornerbacks and they get Joey Bosa back, watch out for the Chargers. They're flying under the radar in a very good way.
Yeah.
Well, for Melvin
Gordon.
At worst,
they're the third best team in the conference in the AFC, in my opinion.
Wow. Well, Melvin Gordon, he ran hard. 7.1 yards a carry. That's just that's phenomenal for the game. Yeah.
Well, he had 122 yards rushing today, I believe, and two touchdowns. Yeah, that's a big game for Melvin Gordon. And he bust one right up the middle for like 40 yards for a touchdown. And ran pretty explosively coming off of that ankle injury. You know, he missed the game in London a couple of weeks ago.
That Chargers team is for real. Nobody's talking about him, but that Chargers team is for real.
Yeah.
Yeah, good call.
Like I said, at worst, they're the third best team in the conference, but they could possibly move up. They could definitely move up. I mean, obviously, they're in the same division with the Chiefs, so that kind of hurts them. And the Texans are starting to hit their stride, too, so we might have to watch them a little bit, too.
What I was a little confused about in this game today, you know, Seattle in the end had a shot. Now, they got a pass interference call in the end zone, and there was no I think there was like 2 seconds left on the clock. Now, they maybe that was 0-0. What I was confused about, there was no time on the clock. Because of the penalty, they let the Seahawks have the ball on the 1 yard line. Then the Seattle had a procedure call with no time on the clock. They moved the ball back, and with no time on the clock, they still got a play and you know, somebody got a fingertip on the pass to a guy that was kind of open in the end zone, the game was over. But one of my questions would have been, if they had scored with no time on the clock, I guess you have to give them a chance to what they would have needed was would have been a two-pointer. And they're running plays. They were running plays with no seconds on the clock in the end of that Seattle Charger game. That was kind of really confusing.
Well, the game came to end on a defensive penalty. So that's typically when you can play on an untimed down at the end of the game. So if there was a defense, I didn't see the last play of the game, but that's my thought. If there was a defensive penalty and he had 0 seconds on the clock, the game came to end on a defensive penalty.
Well, it was an offensive penalty. Seattle got a procedure call, and they were on the one and got pushed back to the six. And there was no seconds on the clock when that happened.
And they got to play after that. Well, that is weird.
Yeah, yeah, they got to play after that. They had a chance to get in the end zone. It didn't happen. But had it, if they did get in the end zone, and then again with no seconds on the clock, they would have had a chance to get another two-pointer to tie it up to send the game in overtime. This is how that This is how that game ended.
Nice. All right.
And, yeah, for me, I'm going to have to look up and get a hold of the NFL and try to figure out exactly what that rule was there. But, yeah, the defensive penalty was with 0-0s on the clock. That and it was a great call. It was a right call. It was pass interference in the end zone, giving the ball on the one. But then Seattle had a penalty after that with 0-0 clock, with 0-0 on the clock and still got to run the play.
All right. All good.
We have to do some homework on that.
Yeah, 100% agreement. Hey, let's get into these quick – hey, guys, be brief on these predictions because we got a lot of last-minute things to talk about. Let's talk quickly about Carolina at Pittsburgh. I have a feeling JQ may not – we'll see if JQ responds to this one. But go ahead, Rob, if you will. Set it up.
Hey, you guys know how I'm pretty consistent when it comes to these Thursday night games. Unless one team is just completely better than the other one, I have to stick with the home team here, and that would be Pittsburgh. You know, playing these games on a short week and traveling as well as Carolina is playing. And I don't know if it's because I'm rooting for Pittsburgh. But it's just tough to go on these short weeks, have to travel on a Wednesday, get ready for a Thursday game. And this is against Pittsburgh starting to hit their stride here a little bit too against a good football team. If it was against a poo team like Buffalo, I would pick Carolina on the road. On the Thursday night game, but going on the road against a team like Pittsburgh, I have to go with Pittsburgh at home on this one. I'm going to go 30-23 Steelers.
Wow. I ain't got no points, but I ain't picking Pittsburgh. I'm picking Carolina and Cam Newton because you know me. I'm not picking Pittsburgh in a game where I feel like Pittsburgh can lose. I'm going to go with Carolina. Carolina really has a lot of multitude of weapons. When you talk about Olsen, you talk about McCaffrey, you talk about Sammy, you talk about Funches. They have a lot of weapons that Pittsburgh has to count for. I feel like it could be a high-scoring game, but I'm not picking Pittsburgh. They might win, and I wouldn't be surprised. I'm going to pick Carolina just for shits and giggles.
Just because. We had a feeling we were going. Hey,
well,
guys, again.
One more. I got the Steelers because Big Ben's going to be the difference.
Ah, there it is. All right, again, guys, be brief because, remember, we don't have too much time here. Let's talk about the second game here. Wow. Gentlemen, this is pretty big, man. My co-host may be involved in an epic power struggle here, battle, if you will. Somebody's going to be happy. Somebody's going to be bad for the next Sunday's call. We got the Saints at the Cincinnati Bengals. JQ, I'm going to let you take the floor, bro.
Why? I'm going to take Drew Brees. Over Andy Dalton? Please stop it. I'm going to take Drew Brees and Sean Payton all day by 21.
Wow.
Our Cincinnati Bengals fan has lost all hope.
Obviously, the Saints are playing the run pretty well. They even contained Gurley for the most part today, but they're still struggling in their pass defense. And the fact that it doesn't look like A.J. Green is going to play next week, that kind of helps the Saints a little bit as far as their pass defense is concerned. And so I would have to pick the Saints on the road in this one. You got to be Saints have to be careful after a big win going up against beating the team, giving them their first loss. You got to be able to regroup and turn your focus to the next game. And so hopefully Sean Payton has the right message for the team in order to do that. But I still think they'll be able to go on the road and win this game, especially when it looked like the Bengals are going to be without A.J. Green. I'm going to go 33-20 Saints.
Come on, Rob. You know they're going to beat the brakes off of Cincinnati. They're going to beat the brakes off of Cincinnati. Me and you both know it. I'm not even talking to you. That is a win. They are sitting there looking like, yeah, we won today and we get a bye next week and play in Cincinnati. That is a walking.
There's no buys in the NFL. They better come ready to play. That's all I got to say.
No, that's
conservative. That's conservative.
That's all I have to say. But I think the Saints will win. But they can't take the Bengals lightly either. Man, look, Raptors put it on the Lakers tonight.
Yes, they can't.
The Saints, I think they really should start thinking about having home field throughout the playoffs. So they stack up these wins, and they very well may be the team you have to go through to get to the Super Bowl.
Very true.
Mm-hmm. Good call.
True statement.
Good call.
I'm also going with the Saints in this one big.
Uh-oh. Yeah. Keep it real. Hey, let's wrap this up. Let's wrap this up here. We got Seattle at the Rams here. Go ahead, Rob. Let's wrap this up, bro.
Oh, the Rams bounce back. Yeah, definitely. I mean, they already went to Seattle and got a win. I think the Rams bounce back and they win big over Seattle. I'm going to say 37-20, 17-point victory for the Rams. They bounce back and win big next week over Seattle. And they start to knock Seattle out of the playoff contention.
No question about it. The Rams. I agree.
Well, Seattle's going to run into a chainsaw massacre because they're going to run. They don't have that same offensive line that the Saints did, and they're going to beat up Russell Wilson. LA's going to win. Boom.
LA's going to put. I think they're going to definitely take it out on the Seahawks about their loss to the Saints, man. So I agree with you guys, man. It's going to be a nice little. They're going to give them all they can handle. All right, gentlemen. Let's do some last – we've got a couple predictions here. I definitely want to tag team as far as what's going to happen with the rest of Baker Mayfield's season and the NFL's MVP so far. If you can tag on those two, Rob, that'll be a great opportunity, sir.
Well, once again, Baker Mayfield is in his rookie season. Patrick Mahomes had the opportunity to sit, learn last year, and come in – blazing this coming, I mean, this season. I don't know if Baker Mayfield will ever be as good as Patrick Mahomes, but he's going to have an up and down season this year as a rookie. Cleveland might win two more games this year at the most, and they got a rocky coaching situation right now. So it's going to be very up and down the rest of the season for the Browns, and they just have to continue to help him to process information properly and to get better as a quarterback, and then they need to find the right coach for him going forward in his career. But it's going to be a very up-and-down season going forward for the Browns and Baker Mayfield.
They're going to beat the Bengals in Cleveland, though. You can go ahead and stamp that with a Sharpie. They're going to beat the Bengals in Cleveland, that's for sure. The Bengals might beat them in Cincinnati, but they're going to happen. I'm just going to tell you right now. But I agree. Patrick Mahomes, with the ability to sit, I talk bad about Andy Reid, and he's awful at clock management in the playoffs. But in terms of putting together a good offensive team, we have a Kansas City offense rolling, and Patrick Mahomes is on another level. I believe that he's the MVP right now. You know, Baker Mayfield is just going to have those rookie, you know, ups and downs. I agree with Rob, like what he says. They're going to get one. I guarantee they're going to get one against Cincinnati and Cleveland. That's a guaranteed win. I don't know if they get that second one, but they get one more against Cincinnati. So we'll see. But I feel like Baker's going to be the answer for Cleveland. I really do. If they don't bring him out and mess him up, but we'll see.
Good call.
And,
all right,
what was that other question, Andre? I'm sorry.
The NFL's MVP so far.
Yeah, that's a tough one.
Yeah.
Definitely Mahomes. I mean, you can say that Hunt is in the conversation with the Chiefs as well. And also you can say Jared Goff and Ty Gurley's in that conversation too. And it's hard for me to put one over the other right now, but I will probably say those are the top four candidates right now. Patrick Mahomes, Kareem Hunt, and Jared Goff and Ty Gurley, I think, are all tied for first place at the moment. And you might can start sneaking Drew Brees and Alvin Kamara in that conversation too.
Not as long as Patrick Mahomes is going three touchdown passes every game. That's just MVP to lose to me right now. I think he's on the chill right now by himself. I do.
I hear some of the experts talking about Cam Newton.
Uh-oh. What?
Yeah, they think this is Cam
not
Newton's best he's ever. Yeah, well, they keep winning.
sounds like Cam's mom.
I can't argue with Patrick Mahomes, but I wouldn't put Cam Newton in that conversation just yet.
Not quite.
All right, we're keeping going here. I know we talked about what's happened to the Raiders and how they got messed up by the humiliated by the 49ers, so that's just a good moot point on that. Who's the greatest of all time, Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady? Rob?
I don't even think we have to spend a lot of time on this one. Brady's got 5 Super Bowls. He's in the record books in several categories. Tom Brady.
I mean, I hate it because I think Aaron Rodgers has more arm talent than Tom Brady has, but I think Tom Brady's had a better system, and that better system has worked out for more Super Bowl rings because you got to go with Tom Brady. As much as it burns my tongue to say that about anybody that went to Michigan, Lord have mercy, he's got 5 rings.
One game or one season?
He's got 5 rings.
I'll take Tom.
5. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Yeah, 5. Yeah, there's no
doubt. Got that Dave Chappelle going?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, no doubt, Tom Brady.
Yeah, I do. Hey, all right, we're going to transition. Let's talk some college football here. I know we're excited about that. What about Nebraska's, man, their kickoff? That was crazy, Rob. What about that, man?
I'm still trying to figure off. Was he trying to do an onside kick? Or was he trying to kick a regular kick? Either way, it was a complete failure. I mean, that was just horrific. I don't know exactly what happened on that play. Maybe you can tell me. I'm sure JQ probably watched every play of that game. So maybe you can tell me what Nebraska was trying to attempt on that play, JQ.
You know what? I give Scott Frost a lot of credit. Nebraska went down and scored a touchdown, and he was trying to put, you know, the nail to the coffin, so to speak, and just put their foot down on Ohio State. But that is one of the worst onside kicks I have ever attempted in my whole life.
It's like he tripped over the football.
I mean, what he was doing. I've never seen an onside kick that bad ever in my life. And, you know, we get caught up in that. This is the best thing I've ever seen. This is the worst thing I've ever seen, you know, in this kind of era that we live in. But I've never seen one.
You meant the bar.
I know. I was at home with my girls, and they all said, oh, my God, what is that? I was at home. You hush.
Even they knew that was bad.
I was at home with all my ladies, and they all said, wait, what? That was horrific. I never seen him. No, I'm not. Don't listen to Mike. He's just bitter.
I'm bitter.
He's just bitter. That's the worst thing I've ever seen. But I like the thought by Scott Frost. I like the thought by Scott Frost. He was trying to do his thing.
He was pulled out.
And
he was trying.
Drinking. Yep.
Yeah, that was crazy. Like I said, I know we were talking about that, how it was a tougher game. And then I was like, man, I wonder what JQ was thinking about that, too. So, good call. Hey, so now, failed attempt by your Nebraska, but we were kind of talking about the playoffs a little earlier, guys, Curtis, Gary, everyone. And I guess the question that we have on the docket is that should we go ahead and crown Alabama now as far as the champs, man? So should we go ahead and crown them now, JQ? What about that?
I'm going to say, yeah. That team there,
they have
the defense. And the thing about it is that defense, I think, got really pissed off. They heard all week about how good LSU's defense was, and how good Tua was. But lost in all that conversation was how good the Alabama defense was. And the Alabama defense went into Death Valley and pitched a shutout. So now you have that defense with a team that is not relying just to run the ball and have a game manager, who we used to see in Alabama have. Tua can run the ball himself, and he can throw the ball, along with having a really stable, good core of running backs. That Alabama team is frightening. And I hate to say that. I'm not an Alabama fan. But if you tell me, hey, I look at you and say, I got Alabama on any given Saturday, who you got, I still feel like I'm going to win.
Well, you know, the one team that's been able to do something has been that Dabo Sweeney at Clemson. And it might come down to that again. And, you know, Nick Saban, he's had two times where he's had to try to stop Clemson defensively with like 4 weeks of preparation, and they haven't stopped Clemson yet.
Okay, so I'm going to ask you this. If I ask you right now, you got to put your mortgage payment or your rent payment on a game between Alabama and Clemson
no.
and that situation,
no.
who do you put it on?
I don't like to see this dominance in anything, really. So I would want to put my money on Clemson. I would want to put my money on somebody that's going to beat Alabama.
I
really
know, okay, but what I asked you was what would you do?
What would you put
if it was Alabama and Clemson?
If, you know, I'm always one of those show me and let me see, but I see right now what I see in Alabama and what I see in Dabo Sweeney and Clemson. I would put my money on Dabo Sweeney and Clemson to beat Alabama right now.
Stop it. Okay.
Wow.
Wow.
Wow. That's big.
Well, okay. I love your
conviction.
I'd have to step away from that one.
Smart man, Gary.
I love your conviction.
Here's the difference, in my opinion, about this Alabama team than what we've seen since 2008 when this Alabama dominance here in the last 10 years. It's Tua. And the quarterback position, that's the only position in the last 10 years that Alabama hasn't produced a first-round draft pick. And Tua might be the first one next year. You look at his accuracy throwing the football, his mobility as far as, you know, his pocket awareness. And that's the difference. This Alabama team might be their best ever because of they still have everything else, and this could be the best quarterback that they've ever had in this Nick Saban era. So that's what makes this team so scary for Alabama and what might make this the best Alabama team that Nick Saban has had. That being said, I still would like to see what Clemson can do with them because Clemson's got six guys on that defense that's going to go in the first two rounds of the draft. So, I mean, that being said, I would like to see the matchup, and I picked Clemson to win the national championship prior to the season. If I had to make a prediction right now, I'm definitely picking Alabama now. I would have changed that. Mm-hmm. But I still would like to see what Clemson can do against them. So I'm not ready to crown them just yet.
Everybody's going to put that money in the country, in the Alabama. The fact that they don't have to run the ball solely with that defense to win the national championship is what makes this Alabama team different. Tua, you're absolutely right. Can throw the ball, he can run the ball, and he can also hand the ball off. Just doing all those things on offense for Alabama, and continue with the Alabama defense. Good luck.
I agree.
Good luck. All right. Let's talk about West Virginia's thrilling win over Texas. Man, that was a pretty good game. And again, we don't talk about West Virginia a lot, man. So, man, this is pretty interesting, Rob. Go ahead, man.
I tell you what, Will Greer, man, came up big down the stretch there. Obviously, West Virginia, at the end of the game, down 7 points. They get the touchdown pass to David Seals. Then they get the 2-point conversion, gutsy call there. And by Dana Hogerson, and they win the game. And I tell you, obviously I'm spending a lot of time in the Austin area now, and those West Virginia fans, they travel. Man, they were here in droves in Austin. And so big win for West Virginia on the road. And, you know, they're in that conversation. We'll see as far as the Big 12 championship if they'll get a shot at Oklahoma.
Man, they got nothing else to do in Morgantown. They was begging to get out of Morgantown to go somewhere. They said Austin.
That is
true. Not the same. But at the same time, and Mike just said it, yeah, but would you, West Virginia ain't going to be Alabama? I mean, that's a nice little victory for them against Texas.
No.
You know, a little golf clap for them. You know, it was entertaining, and they won a game. But, okay, they can't be Clemson or Alabama. So, you know, I'm not a big believer in West Virginia football. And I believe those dudes and chicks left Morgantown to go to Texas. They say, you know, we're getting the hell up out of Morgantown. Listen, if they get a chance to leave Morgantown and go kick it in Austin, Texas, they're going to take it.
So far off.
Absolutely.
That's
6th Street, Rainy Street.
That's funny, JQ.
It's true. What you going to do in Morgantown? Have you been through Morgantown? I've been through Morgantown. Ain't a damn thing to do in Morgantown, West Virginia, but to leave it. So they bounce. Not that.
You know what? You know what's pretty funny? I mean, I can honestly
can't argue with that.
I've never been, so I mean, I don't know what else to say. So kudos to you, JQ. It's like, hey.
I can only imagine, but
that.
I've never been either.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, so if you believe that, then that's the case.
Fair enough. Morgantown is from people in Morgantown. They say Austin, Texas is by Dallas. Let's go. And they bounce.
Oh, my gosh. All right.
Yeah, Austin is a lot more fun than Dallas, too.
Everybody that's been through Morgantown knows I ain't told no lies.
And it's got to be more fun than Portland or whatever that motherfucker's
Wow. That's crazy. Hey, let's get to these last predictions here, or recaps, and we'll get to some predictions. And we'll do a shout-out to some basketball for L.A., the West Coast, again, for Curtis and Gary, too. Penn State at Michigan. Do a quick recap on that, if you will, Rob.
I'll tell you what. You know, obviously, I still want to see if Michigan can beat Ohio State. They have not been able to do that in years. They have not been able to do that under Jim Harbaugh. But he looked like he might be finally building his team in the image that he wants to build it. This team is getting it done on the defensive side of the ball. And they're playing fast. They're playing physical. They're playing angry. And they're playing with a lot of emotion, which we haven't seen over a Wolverine's team here the last few years. And they're playing greedy. And so, I mean, I'm pretty sure this is what they've been waiting on all of this time. But for me, I still got to see if they can beat Ohio State and see if this is the team that they can finally beat Ohio State. And if they can end this season and beat Ohio State and win the Big Ten with only one loss, then it's going to be hard for me to see any other one-loss team getting in the playoffs over Michigan.
So I'm going to start this with fuck them, because that's how I feel about Michigan. But,
wow.
Yeah. Absolutely. All right,
FCC, please don't call us.
Yeah, but
we have lost
we'll talk
our
about
status
Michigan.
Right there.
But you know what? Objectively, they are playing really good football. They're on their revenge tour. They're knocking everybody off. They lost them the past couple of years. And the last stop on that revenge tour is Ohio State. So we'll see what happens with them. But if they win now and they win the Big Ten, it's going to be really hard to leave them out of the conversation, I believe. I feel like given what's happened, it's going to be if everything holds up, you're going to have Alabama, Clemson, Notre Dame, and Michigan. And I hate that. It burns like acid on my damn tongue to even say that about Michigan. But they're playing really good football. If they beat Ohio State and then win the Big Ten, I feel like they edge Oklahoma out for that fourth spot. If everything else holds.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha. All right.
Yeah.
Let's wrap up. Yep, go ahead. Oh, I thought someone was going to say something. We're going to wrap this up here. Let's wrap up. JQ, we're going to let you have your moment for Ohio State and Nebraska here, if you want to do a quick recap on that.
Ohio State still sucked, and I watched most of every snap of that game. And it's just it's true. I would love to go here and gloat about how Ohio State came off a bye, off of losing Purdue, and they just killed Nebraska, and they looked fantastic in doing it. But they didn't do that. They barely held on. That defense had all the same leaky holes they had beforehand. Haskins didn't really look good in that game. They had Martinez make some true freshman mistakes in that game, and they were able to capitalize on it being in the shoe. But if I watch Ohio State, even as an Ohio State fan, I feel like they're a top 25 team. But I don't feel like they're a top five team. And when you're talking about Ohio State and the things they've had going on up until this point and all the talents they have, you feel like they should be at least a top 10 team to a top five team. but they haven't shown that to me. I watched Alabama, you know, look at Clemson. They played a 2-6 Louisville team. They put 77 points on them in Clemson. And then you look at Ohio State struggle to a 36-32 win over Nebraska against another 2-6 team. That's what I'm saying in terms of the disparity of how good a Clemson and Alabama are versus Ohio State right now. Something is amiss in Columbus, and they just aren't on that level. They won, but they got to get some things really corrected in the next couple of weeks before they can even have a chance to beat Michigan the way Michigan's playing right now. That's just a true statement. I hate it, but it's a true statement.
Emotionally, JQ, they're not ready. Everything dealing with Urban Meyer early in the season, they're still not. They're still doing a lot of things, bro. So that's what I'm saying on that front. So, yeah.
If there's one thing that worked out in Ohio State favor in this game, is they looked like they were finally able to run the football with some effectiveness in this football game. They got Mike Weber going. They got J.K. Dobbins going in the game. Obviously, it's against Nebraska, but Ohio State has been struggling this year as far as running the football, and they finally had some success. So, if you're Ohio State fans, you hope that they can build off of that from the running game standpoint.
They got to play better defense, though. I'm just going to be honest with you. I would love to be able to get on here and say, hey, we are in that conversation, and we just stubbed our toe against Purdue. I would love to be able to get on the call and say that. But they are not playing on a level of defense to be in that conversation with those heavy hitters that we talked about earlier in the show. It's just not where they are. And that's on Urban Meyer. It's his program now.
Yeah. All right, gentlemen, let's give these last predictions here as we wrap this up here. Let's talk about the number 18 Mississippi State at number one Alabama. JQ, yeah. Why?
You got two words, roll tide. Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, it's not going to be pretty. Alabama in the route.
I'm still thinking about the last time whenever they played Ole Miss, first play from scrimmage, they scored a touchdown. They're all excited. And then they just, like, Alabama just opened up a can, man. So that, you wonder about that.
they just showed the end of that Seattle Chargers game, and that was a Chargers defensive penalty at the end of the game. And that's why they played an untimed down at the end. So it was a defensive penalty.
Yeah, good call, Ron. Yes. Thanks for that. Really took the number two, Clemson, number 22, Boston College.
Stop it.
Boston College is having a really good year this year. They really overachieved. You know, had a nice victory against Virginia Tech. But they're going to get slaughtered at home by Clemson.
I got one word, crush. Two words.
Orange crush.
Orange crush.
Yeah.
Rob is right there with me. I love him. Clemson.
So you're saying there's a chance.
Boston College provides a nice education, you guys, so make sure you go to class.
So nobody travels to the Mississippi. So you might be pulled over.
Boston College is getting a check. That's all that matters for that. Hey, let's talk about some NBA here really quickly, and as we wrap the last two topics of the show. Maddie Johnson, is he pretty critical of, or is his criticism of Luke Walton, is that fair? And I'm going to let everyone, get on this one, because I know my left coast guys as well, but we'll start out with Rob, then go to JQ, and then, Mike was adding, but then we're going to go to Curtis and Gary as well. But go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, I know JQ is a big Laker fan, so he's probably going to have a lot to say about this. But I'm just, obviously Magic Johnson is the president of the basketball operation with the Lakers, so he can say what he wants about his coach. So if that's the way he feels, then so be it. That being said, still early in the season, and I think you got a lot of new parts and pieces on that team, and it's going to take a minute to see if those guys can gel and play well together, or finding the right rotations and things of that nature, finding who plays well with one another. And they got a lot of guys on that team that like to have the ball in their hands. Rondo, LeBron James, Ball. And so you got a lot of guys on that team play best with the ball in their hands. So they got to figure out how they're going to be able to gel and play together too. So, obviously he can say what he wants, but I think he has to give Luke Walton time too.
Yeah, I think the problem is, you touched on it, is that I don't think he really had a plan. You can't be so wide open as a coach, even with all those moving parts, where you don't feel like you have a plan and it's too free-flowing. If it's free flowing and you're winning, it's all well and good. But if you're free flowing and it's, when you're losing, then the GM is going to come out and say, or the president of operations is going to say, hey, man, what's the plan? You know, you got all these crazy, you know, lineups coming in and out. You only have a set kind of time limit, you know, minutes restriction on each one of them. What are you doing? So I get what Max was saying. I don't think it's necessarily so much of the wins and losses. I think it's more of what's the plan. Did you have a go-to kind of going to be a rotation? And then based off what you saw happen, I'm going to change up the rotation. I feel like Luke Walton just was like, I'm just going to throw some names in the hat here and bounce them out and see what happens for the first 10, 15 games. And Max was like, wait a minute, man. You got to have a better plan than that. Like, if you're not putting these guys together in your mind in terms of rotation and then start subbing them in and out based off of that, he was just like kind of like a popcorn thing. Like, just kind of pop up and just pick some out of it and put them out there. So I get that piece of it. I don't think it was the wins and losses of it. I think it was just the plan of you just were like, I'm just going to see what shakes out. And that's okay in a certain kind of manifestation of a plan. But I agree that with Magic that I feel like Luke didn't really have a plan. He was like, I got LeBron James, and then I'm going to see how everybody else plays with LeBron James. That's what he said, and it wasn't working out. I was like, well, wait a minute. Did you not think about how it would mesh together? Like, you didn't have a plan in mind of this starting five and then these bench players, and then if this didn't work out, I'm going to take this guy out and bring this guy in. I think that's that X and O's kind of pieces of it that Magic had a problem with Luke with.
Well, I think that Magic Johnson is he's a perfectionist. He was as a player.
Yep.
He is, you know, he is in his new role with the Lakers. And I think that Luke Walton is on a short leash with that said. He'll give him this year, but he's expecting some big things out of the Lakers and, you know, what the Lakers organization has done. The one thing that, of course LeBron's the big one, but, you know, boy, that Rondo is playing good with him. That Rondo is one, he's a high basketball IQ guy. He really knows how to run the floor. Yeah, so if you can get those two guys to really start working together, it's going to make all those other guys look better. And then they did that in Portland against us. They had a win, and you know, and that Rondo, he played well. James is always going to play well.
How the hell did the Lakers play in Portland twice in the first 3 weeks of the season? What kind of damn scheduling is that, NBA? Like, Can we spread it out? I mean,
well,
really?
You know, they're in the division, and so we're gonna see them six times. And one of the things I think the Lakers are thinking about, and LeBron is thinking about, is overtaking the Blazers to win this series of six. I think they're totally on the path, and I think LeBron's got that on his mind, and I think the Lakers got on that on their mind. The Blazers finished third in the Western Conference last year, but every from 3 to 8 was only 2 games apart. So
yep.
If the Lakers can overtake the Blazers in that role, they're going to be up there pretty high. And they might win this division. And that
I just
but the one of the things I want to say, LeBron
the
has had this history. Wait a minute. No,
go ahead. I'm sorry. Yeah, go ahead.
No, the Lakers is in the Blazers in the Pacific. The Blazers in the Northwest Division now with Utah,
yeah.
Denver, Oklahoma City, and Minnesota. And the Lakers in the division now with the Clippers, Warriors, Kings, and the Suns.
Yeah,
in the same conference.
They'll play 4 times.
Four times they'll play.
Yeah.
So if you're gonna play Portland 4 times, you already played both of your times in Portland in the first 2.5 weeks of the season. I just question the scheduling of why would you put the Lakers against the Trailblazers for all their games against Portland in Portland in the first 2.5 weeks of the season? Why not play one early and one late? One early and one in the middle of the season. Now the Lakers don't even have to go to Portland anymore. Like, I just don't understand that as a scheduling standpoint when you make them play both of their games in Portland that early in the season.
Yeah.
I don't know exactly why, other than probably they wanted an early opportunity for LeBron to come up here and end that 16-game winning streak that the Blazers have here. Blazers also have like a 6 or 7 game winning streak in LA, I believe. Yeah, so there, I think that played into that a bit, I think.
Well, I mean, you know, if you think about it realistically, what we don't know about this NBA scheduling is, like, I mean, Madonna might have been in the L.A. Coliseum this weekend. The circus might have been somewhere. You know, these stadiums, they schedule all kind of stuff all year long. Justin Timberlake in the Rose Garden. So, you know, now you got to find the opening in, you know, Bruno Mars. I think he was doing a bunch of dates in L.A. That's how jumbles up the scheduling. I think that's your explanation for that. You don't know what's going on in these other arenas around the league.
But you got 29 other cities. There's 29 other cities they legitimately could have went to. Like, ain't nothing happening necessarily in Memphis that weekend. Like, I mean, I hear what you're saying, and that goes.
Might have had an Elvis concert.
Shut up.
Yeah, come on.
They could have been someone. They could have went to Cleveland or Indiana or something. Like, why would you play? I just don't understand putting them in terms of a schedule, both of them in the same. Yeah, that to me is weird. It's like one of those weird scheduling quirks. That's my only point of why would you play on both? Portland's a great basketball city. Why would you do them both so early in the season, you know, almost back-to-back?
Wow.
Well, that way at the end of the season, when we play them again, we can put them out of the playoffs.
I love it. Hey,
talking trash to you. Thank you.
The last subject of the night, and I'm kind of curious because we're right against the bottom of the hour, so hopefully we'll get everything in quick because I'm not sure if ladies have talked junk to us. So really quickly, are the Celtics capable of – are the only team capable of beating the Warriors in a seven-game series? I'm going to emphatically say no. Dub Nation. Go ahead, Rob.
Well, I don't think anybody's capable of beating the Warriors if the Warriors are healthy. And that being said, the Celtics are the one team that at least might have like four weapons on the floor when you talk about Kyrie Irving, if they all are healthy, Gordon Haywood, Brown, and Tatum. And then you throw in Horford in the mix. I think they might be the most competitive with the Warriors, but I don't think anybody's capable of beating the Warriors if the Warriors are healthy. That's just the way it is right now with the league, unfortunately. I don't like the Warriors, not a fan, but it's just the truth. If they're healthy, you're not beating them.
If the Warriors are healthy and Boston's healthy, they meet in the finals, you know, maybe they can win a game. Maybe Boston can win a game.
A game.
That's really about it.
A game.
A game. Not a series. A game. A moral victory.
I'm definitely gonna say that about the Celtics. I don't really care. I don't think anybody. But honestly, I don't think anybody has a chance. If the Lakers are healthy, if the Warriors are healthy, and they get Cousins, you know, at 73.5% with what they already have, game over.
Yeah. Yeah, that wasn't even in the equation with Cousins. They may not even win the game.
Mm-hmm.
He's just a beast. He's what they needed. You put him with, you know, Draymond. I mean, geez, that's rough.
Him, Draymond, Curry, Durant, and Thompson. Good luck.
Oh yeah.
Good luck.
I'm just talking about those smash mouth guys that are gonna do those ugly things, you know, get in your face, intimidate you, you know, these sort of things. So they don't have anybody like that in Boston.
Yeah.
You're right.
Yeah, good call. Good call. Good call. Yes, anything else you want to talk about? Did everyone answer?
They have Blue Jay King.
Marcus Morris. He might cut you.
Marcus Morris.
Morris.
Don't
forget about him. He's crazy. He's legitimately crazy. They've got one. I mean, Cousins and Green, you know, Golden State has two. But don't forget about Boston with Morris. That dude is legitimately a nut. So I won't say they don't have any. They got one. He's crazy.
All right. Did everyone answer the question, if you will, guys? We good?
Yep.
We got everything in? We got everything to say?
Yeah.
Again, we are going to wrap up the show. We want to thank you, obviously, Curtis and Gary. Always appreciate you guys calling in and giving us the Oregon Sports Report, man. That is much appreciated and giving us some little soccer nuggets as well, as we talked about the Portland Timbers, if you will,
and the little Major League Soccer. So, Rob, I guess that's it. Let's go ahead and wrap up this edition of Talking Sports with 12 Men, bro.
Yeah, thanks again. Yeah, adding that soccer nugget is key because I'm not going to even fake it. Like, I know anything about soccer because I don't. Yeah, I do not at all. We tried to get into the World Cup when it came around and gave out 2 cents, but we were not experts. I can promise you that. But anyway, thank you all, for everyone, for tuning in and listening on tonight. We certainly appreciate it. We had another power-packed show, 90 minutes of talking sports. And we'll be back at you once again on next Sunday night, a week from tonight, 11 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for all of you all in New York, Atlanta, Miami, and 10 p.m. for those of you all in Chicago, on down to Memphis, on down to New Orleans, Dallas, Houston. And for our friends on the West Coast, Portland, Seattle, L.A., we're going to come to you at 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. And Honolulu, you all tune in too. It'll be 5 p.m. in Hawaii. So don't go to the beach. Tune in. Listen to our show. And we'll be coming back to you talking a lot more football, recapping the NFL next week, college football, and obviously we'll sprinkle in some basketball. College hoops getting ready to tip off on Tuesday night as well. So we'll cover whatever is happening in the sports world for you. Good night, people.
He's very modest. It's really about the Saints and the Bengals, and even though I know we're going to get our doors blown off, and it hurts my feelings, but I'm hoping, I'm going to say I'm going to light some incense, and I'm going to, you know, take some communion and light some candles at the church, and just hope, you know, that my Bengals might be able to do it. And I hope that it might snow. It's just, I mean, all kind of wild, crazy ridiculousness, but I'm like candles at the church. I need that win. So we're going to see. Y'all tune in next week when Rob talks real dirty to me about how the Saints did the Bengals, but I'm holding out hope. So, see you next Sunday.
Lighting candles at the church.
Candles at the church.
Saints got to keep winning, man. We got the Panthers knocking on our door. Falcons have won 3 straight. We still got to stay ahead of the Rams.
Some Our Fathers, some Hail Marys. I might need a burning bush. I mean, I might need it.
Go, Pack, go.
Throwing candles, man. He said, throwing candles. Hey, gentlemen, as always, Gary and Curtis dropped off, but again, thank you for them for showing us some love. Big Mike, we appreciate you, your comments in the background. He told him that we always think he's hilarious, man, so we appreciate that as well, man. Gentlemen, have a fantastic week. Yeah, I'm really scared the lady's going to jump in on this as well, man, but you know how we do. Please be safe as you guys do your thing. I know we're getting into the kind of fall season, so the weather's going to get a little colder, but fun times. As we always have to do, so bundle up, be safe. And, gentlemen, till the next show, as always, we'll be texting, we'll be talking junk, as we always do. We appreciate that as well, man. So you guys have a fantastic week, okay?
Yes, sir.
Good night,
Hoodie versus Hoodie.
Yes, sir. Good night, people. Yep.
No.
What happened?
Hoodie versus Hoodie.
Yes, sir. Let's go.
Here we go. All right. Somebody's going to be happy and somebody's going to be bad on our show next week, so we'll talk about that. And then, again, like we talk about, I'm glad we got an extra hour fallback too, man. So enjoy that time. Get some rest. And we'll see you guys same time, same channel next week. Peace out, guys. Thanks, gentlemen.
Y'all behave out there, people. Good night.
Love you.
Good night.
See you later.
Yep.